Good morning. In the gospel this morning, we see Jesus invited to dinner by one of the leading Pharisees. Now, that's not what we expect from Luke. We know that, especially in Luke, Jesus is concerned for the poor, for social justice. He hangs out with those who are oppressed, not otherwise thought much of. And sure enough, we hear that at the very end of the gospel, when he's telling all those around him, invite the poor and the blind and the lame, those who cannot repay you. But it's not exclusive. While there is an emphasis on the poor and the downtrodden, it includes everybody. Jesus will accept a dinner invitation from anyone. I try as hard as I can to be like Jesus. Whether you're the tax collector or one of the leading Pharisees, if you will invite him, he will come. Still true today, no matter who you are, rich or poor, powerful or not, whatever, if you invite him, he will come. The emphasis in the gospel, I think, is on the question of humility. The story that he tells about going to take the lowest place at table, and the tagline that's added to that, this is an aphorism. It was probably around before Jesus, and he probably used it a lot, because the gospel writers append it to various stories in various places in the four Gospels. So we are constantly reminded of this. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. Humility is a pretty important virtue. And yet, you know, if there really was a devil, the way we imagine the devil, you know, with the horns and the tail and the conniving and whatnot, and if the devil had free reign over American society, something not too hard to imagine, then there's nothing more creative that the devil, I think, could possibly have done than the twisting of the notion of humility that's happened in modern society that has made it a very undesirable thing. We think of humility as running yourself down. Self-deprecation is humility. Not acknowledging your gifts, much less using them, is humility. Never mind, I'll try some other virtue. But that's not it. It's not about running yourself down. It's about, as Jerome said in the introduction, being honest about yourself, with yourself. And the most important part of that, I think, is one simple and yet very difficult realization. It's not about me. Now, of course, there's a lot built into the human being that makes me think it is about me. I can only see with this pair of eyes. I can only hear with this pair of ears. So I see the world from where I sit or where I stand at any given time. And that can lead very easily to the conclusion that it's about me. And that's, I think, what pride really is. Not that I think that I'm so much better than everybody else, but that I see and interpret the whole world as though it were about me. And it's not. Somebody gets very upset because so-and-so has insulted them, slighted them, wronged them. And the more you think about it, the more it becomes sort of a vicious attack on you personally. They probably didn't even know you were alive. They were just busily doing their own thing, interpreting the world as though it all revolved around them, and you happened to get in the way. And now you think it's all about you, so you're against them because of the way they attacked you. They weren't attacking you. that we're ignoring you. We do it to each other all the time because we think it's about me. And it's not. Let me give you an example. And, you know, if you're going to talk about humility, then practice a little. I'll do public confession of the biggest sin I've committed recently. A few weeks ago, I was sitting in the office working on something fairly important, or at least trying to. And I'm sitting there getting my thoughts together and getting it organized, and the phone rings. Somebody wants to know if I will come pick up their furniture. No, that's the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and they haven't done that in about 12 years. Get done with that. Get back to just about the point where I'm ready to start keying it in. I've got an idea. And the doorbell rings. Get up and go to the door. And somebody wants to know if they can park on the lot while they go to the post office. Deal with that. Come back. Sit down. It takes 5 or 10 minutes to get refocus. And the phone rings. What time is Sunday Mass? Start to refocus again. Doorbell rings again. Get up. Go to the door. Can you take my old pose? Deal with that. Go back. Sit down. Start to get organized again. And the phone rings. Can I speak to the person in charge of electricity purchase in your company? You've had those, right? Hang up. Get back to work. It's about a half an hour now, and I haven't gotten a thing done, and I'm getting more and more frustrated by the minute. And the doorbell rings again. Only this time it's not ding, ding. This time it's ding, 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 ding. Like a fire alarm. Haul myself up out of the chair again. I didn't get as far as the dining room, and it goes again. Ding, 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 ding. By the time I get to the kitchen, it's going off a third time. Ding, 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 ding. When I opened the door, I said, "Why is it that you have no patience with the old and the slow?" And I proceeded to give this person a piece of my mind and then closed the door. I don't know to this day what they wanted. It might have been important. Probably wasn't. It was probably another piece of trivia. But it might have been important. And I will never know whether it was important or not, because I closed the door in their face. Because I was letting it be about me. I was interpreting that in terms of what had gone on in the past half an hour in my life, and giving myself the license to let it be about me. And it's not about me. And that's humility. Constantly knowing that it's not about you and acting accordingly, or its opposite, letting it be about you. When I let it be about me, I miss an opportunity. When I let it be about me, I get things wrong. When I get it be about me, I don't look very much like Jesus. Jesus is the one who could have let it be about him. I mean, what the hell? Only begotten Son of God, huh? It's about me. But Jesus pours himself out over us. He decenters himself radically in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. He doesn't act, doesn't sound, doesn't come off as though it's about him. So who am I to let it be about me? But that's not something you can make a decision on and be done with it. There are kinds of things in life that you can do that with. I've had a fairly successful career as a bank robber, but now I suspect the FBI may be closing in on me. So I abandon my career as a bank robber and go instead to the American Bankers Association and get a 6-digit job as a security consultant. People do that. They never go back to robbing banks. They use their expertise in robbing banks in a different way. Total once-in-a-lifetime turnaround. This is not like that. This is like mother, cat, and kittens. You ever watched a mother cat with kittens? She'll lie there and watch them. And they'll go off in different directions, exploring their world. She'll keep an eye on which one is where and what they're up to. And then all of a sudden, someone will go too far. Someone will cross the street without looking, you know, or get too close to the dog in the yard next, whatever. And instantly she's up, runs over, picks it up in her mouth, brings it back, sets it down, licks it behind the ears a little to let it know that it's still loved. And then it wanders off again. And 10 or 15 minutes later, she's up again chasing it. If it's not this one, it's that one. You've got to do that. You don't let kittens be... There's a reason why the modern thing says as curious as a kitten. And if you don't let your kittens be curious, they're not going to grow up to be good hunters. I mean, it's important. But you got to keep going after them again and again and again, and bringing them back again and again and again. And this is-it-about-me thing is one of those. We are naturally predisposed, just by the physical structure of our persons, to be the center of our own universe. To think that it's all about me, because it all comes to what I see and what I hear and what my... I don't have your past in my consciences. I only got mine. So there's this natural tendency for it to be about me. And I've got to keep grabbing myself of that and keep bringing myself back. And keep grabbing myself, keep bringing myself back. It's important. Because it's the kind of person that Jesus was. It's the kind of God that Jesus revealed. It's who we're called to be. We're not going to get there, not all in one step, certainly. Got to keep doing it, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. Other cat and kittens bringing it back. But at least we have to know and remember to be on guard to do that. Because despite all the temptation that our structure as human persons will give us in that direction, it is really not all about me. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.